Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So today I want to talk about poverty and charity. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of charitable organizations out there asking you for money. And we Americans, we're incredibly generous. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year go to charity for the poor. And put aside medical research, put aside, you know, political activism, all this other stuff. We're just going to focus on charity. When I talk about charity today, we're talking about charity to solve the problem of poverty. Indeed, you know, most of this charity, or much of this charity, goes overseas because the problem of poverty is much bigger outside of the United States than inside of the United States. Much of it goes to Africa, to Haiti, to South America, to parts of Asia. Hundreds of billions of dollars in the United States from other countries. And it's not only a charitable giving that goes there, but also there's foreign aid. Our government gives, European governments give. And this is a huge, huge industry. And I saw a documentary recently on a plane, on a flight somewhere. And it's called Poverty, Inc. Highly recommend this documentary, Poverty, Inc. You can get it in iTunes. I think as of June, middle of June, June 16th, I think you can get it off of Netflix. You can go to their website, povertyinc.org. Now, I don't agree with everything in the documentary. They don't represent my views on everything. But it was fascinating because it actually examines this massive industry that is involved in charity. And it focuses on charity overseas in Haiti and in Africa and what these charities actually achieve, what they actually do. And it's not just charities. You know, there's a lot of businesses that want to do, quote, good in the world. And they find all kind of ways, again, to give to the poor in these other countries. And the question really is, does it help? Is it having an impact? Is the problem we have today not enough charity? Is that why they are still poor in the world? And, you know, you hear this a lot. If only Europeans and Americans were more generous, we could send, and people throw out a number, right? $84 billion to Africa and Latin America. If we had $84 billion and we could send it to Africa, Latin America, and India, there'd be no poverty in the world ever again. Now, that's complete and utter nonsense. And this documentary shows why. It's complete and utter nonsense. And not only that, but one could argue, as the documentary does, that the $84 billion that you send to Africa, Latin America, and India will actually do potentially long-term more harm than good. So this is the question we want to talk about today. Is charity to alleviate poverty the solution? Is charity to alleviate poverty right? Is it good? Is it worthwhile? Should we be giving our money to these thousands of organizations that send food and send shoes and send all kinds of relief help all over the world? And then we get images and we get stories about how wonderful they are. But how do we know? How do we measure success? Do we have the right parameters to be able to tell whether there's success? Because it's interesting that poverty is being alleviated in much of the world, but not where these charitable organizations are the primary source of funding. Charity is being alleviated in China, which gets very little charitable dollars. Poverty is being alleviated. Well, not alleviated. I exaggerate. It hasn't been alleviated completely in China. It's been reduced significantly in China. It's been reduced significantly in South Korea. It's been reduced significantly in Taiwan. It's been reduced significantly in other parts of Asia. And yet, those are not where the charitable dollars are going. So how do we measure whether our charity is working? Should we be giving to charity? That's what I want to talk about today. We'd love to have your input. 312-642-5600. 312-642-5600. Call up. Tell me, do you have any experiences with charity? Have you gone to Africa and worked in one of these charitable organizations? Or do you send them a check? How many of you regularly send money to some charitable organization that helps the poor in Africa? You watch one of those commercials on television where they make you cry and get you to write a check and send it to you. Call in. Let me know what your experiences are and what you think. What do you think causes poverty? And what do you think alleviates poverty? A billion people with a B, over the last 30 or so years have come out of poverty in the world. I want to know why you think that is. What caused them to come out of poverty? So this documentary is really fascinating. So again, I encourage you all to watch it. PovertyInc.org. Poverty Inc. is the name of the documentary. I watched it on iTunes. I downloaded it. But you can, as of June 16th, another week or so, you can watch it on Netflix and there are probably many other sources, but you can find all the information you need at PovertyInc.org, and they have not given me any money to promote this. It's just I really like the movie. And again, not everything in the movie I agree with, but I really like the movie. What was the movie present? Well, what the movie shows are the consequences of all this charitable activity. It shows what happens when you give people rice after disaster. So it focuses quite a bit on Haiti. And of course, we all know this, right? Haiti goes through an earthquake. You know, tragically, hundreds, maybe thousands of people are dying. There's diseases. People are desperate. And immediately, there is this call for charitable contributions to help people in Haiti. And of course, many people, out of goodwill, out of guilt, out of altruism, out of lots of different reasons, start writing checks and to all kinds of charitable organizations. Again, there are hundreds of these organizations. There's a whole industry of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that go out and provide charity in disaster zones and places like this. And Haiti's a great example. So the assumption was, well, they need food. So we start sending them huge quantities of rice. And of course, what happens? Well, rice farming in Haiti collapses. So it turns out that before we started sending them rice, there were rice farmers. And they were producing large quantities of rice. But now rice was available for free, being sent from overseas, and the price of rice collapsed and wiped out these rice farmers and made them poor when they weren't poor before. I just got a correction from my producer in the studio. The official death toll of the earthquake in Haiti in 2010 was 316,000 people. That's an astounding number. That is an astounding number. And of course, when you see images of orphans, of hungry people, of just total devastation, you write a check. But you don't think about where that money's going. So one example was rice. And of course, the rice keeps coming. Because once these NGOs raise money, they have an incredible incentive to keep raising the money. Once they start providing rice to Haiti, they have a huge incentive to keep raising money and providing rice to Haiti. And of course, there's another group that wants this, and that is rice farmers in the United States, from which the NGOs are buying the rice and sending it to Haiti. They, you know, some of their product is being bought up in the U.S. and being sent over there. So we all kind of feel good, right? The farmers feel good because their rice is going to Haiti and to cure hunger. We feel good because we're solving a problem in Haiti. The NGOs feel good because they're getting decent salaries and they've got a job and they feel good about helping people. Everybody feels good except the people who used to sell rice in Haiti, which are the rice farmers. They get wiped out and we destroy an industry. Now, you destroy an industry, it doesn't just come back. So you've destroyed 1 year's worth of industry, let's say, and then the next year the NGOs leave and now there's no rice, because the whole infrastructure of that industry that planted and grew the rice is gone. Those people have moved now from the countryside where they were growing rice into the cities, and they're doing something else. So this has devastating long-term consequences. Devastating long-term consequences. So a lot of times when you think you're helping people, you're destroying them. You're destroying them. And Poverty Inc. illustrates that destruction. It illustrates the hugely damaging consequences of altruism. You're also making them dependent, right? They're getting used to free rice, and now they start demanding it. An entitlement mentality sets in. Not helpful for long-term economic growth and prosperity and human flourishing. All right, you're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back after this break to continue our discussion of poverty and charity and take your calls.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree taking a look at traffic. Keep in mind, Blues Fest in Grand Park shuts down Michigan to the drive. Also, Monroe to Congress Parkway with everything supposedly being back open by 6 a.m. Monday morning. Also on the south side, Pilsen Food Trucks Social shuts down 18th between Troop and Racine and 47th between Damon and Ashland closed for Fiesta Back of the Yards with CTA doing some rerouting as well. Swinging over to the roadways, Eden's Inn, Lake Hosta Junction, holding at 29, 22 on the flip. Kennedy Yeno here to downtown, 43, 10 minutes less if you do the reverse. Eichen from 53, 54 from Mannheim, 38. Back out to Mannheim, 21, Thorndale, 36. There is an accident off to the left shoulder at Addison, so it slows a bit on the outbound ride, Route 83 to Addison. It's 92 and partly sunny tonight, 62 and thunderstorms tomorrow, 70 and partly sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You wake up in the morning. And you want to know what's going on and what happened while you were asleep. You could grab your smartphone and wade through endless cat videos. Or you could listen to that other radio station, you know, that's talking about last night's ball game.
Winning records for starting pitchers matter anymore.
Or you could turn on Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson and get up to speed fast with the latest news, traffic, and weather on AM 560. The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
World, say hello to my 9 little friends. Remember us? We used to spend a lot of time with you, but that was before I got nail fungus. Yeah, nail fungus. I know, embarrassing, right? But what was a big toe like me supposed to do, eh? We tried doctors, took pills, creams, even considered surgery, but with that I could lose my nail, and there's still no guarantee that the fungus won't come back. Then I tried Clear Touch. Clear Touch is a little handheld device you use at home. Clear Touch is painless because it uses light, yeah, light, to travel fast and deep. All that time in hiding and this simple solution was right there at Clear Touch? Well, Clear Touch is even cleared by the FDA because it's safe and works. So if you're hiding your little friends, get Clear Touch. Now listen to the man.
Call 800-278-7144. That's 800-278-7144. That's 800-278-7144 or cleartouchnails.com.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, so we're talking about charity and poverty and, you know, stuff like that, deep stuff, important stuff, stuff that really affects you. And I was just commenting, you know, if I'd be talking about Trump, you guys would all be calling in and we'd be riveted, right? But no, enough Trump. I've already, you guys, if you've been following me, you know what I think of Trump and Hillary and the rest of those bozos. I'm not interested in politics. Let's talk about important stuff, right? Because it affects your pocketbook. It affects the world in which we live all around us. And I would talk about this documentary, Poverty Inc. If you've seen it, call up. If you have an opinion about poverty, about charity, about giving money to help poverty and reduce poverty, if you think that's the way to reduce poverty, give us a call, 312-642-5600. Take a little break from politics. Let's talk about something more important. Now, there's political aspects here because there's a lot of pressure to increase foreign aid. There's a lot of interest in increasing foreign aid. And it's not a big budgetary issue for the United States because it's not a huge amount of money. But my point is this. It actually does harm to the people we're trying to help. It actually does harm to the people we're trying to help. We assume, and I'm talking about poverty here outside the United States, where people are really, really, really poor, where they don't have anything, where they are really struggling. And you assume that they can't take care of themselves. The whole charity industry, the whole idea of global charity is the assumption that, oh, those poor people in Africa, they can't take care of themselves. They need us, rich, successful, prosperous people, to send them stuff. Really? Really? There's something special about you and me? Not really. Not really. You see, what cures poverty is not people writing checks. What does cure poverty? 312-642-5600. What do you think alleviates poverty, gets rid of poverty? Okay, some more examples. We'll get to my answers in a little while. I'll tell you what really alleviates poverty and why. What Africa needs is not a check. What Africa needs is not more food. What Africa needs is not your hard-earned savings. Go buy yourself something nice instead. We'll talk about what Africa actually needs and why nobody's sending checks anymore to China, how they became, relatively speaking, rich without our charity. And it's not that they screwed us on trade, just to get out of the way. You have to have a Trump comment somewhere. All right, so here's one more example in Haiti. And then we're going to go to Sean, who's calling into. I met Sean for the first time, so this is kind of cool. This will be our first conversation on the radio after I actually met him in person. So, another example from Haiti. So after the earthquake in Haiti, there was no power, there was no electricity. So people said, these charity organizations are not just charity organizations, but they're also green. And it's too expensive to build a big power plant, or it's difficult and it's not green and all this garbage stuff. So what happens is they start sending to Haiti all these solar panels to produce solar energy and to do street lights and other things, little solar panels. And what this documentary shows is that there was a company in Haiti producing this stuff that basically almost was driven out of into bankruptcy because of this. Because, again, people are offering stuff for free. You don't save people. You know, maybe in an emergency, you have to give them for a little while stuff so they can get back on their feet. But at the end of the day, the solution cannot be to make people dependent on you. That is no solution. That doesn't help anybody. It makes you feel good. Doesn't help them one iota. All right, Sean, how's it going, buddy?
How are you, Ron? Listen, you know, I'm going to bet you something without knowing it. I'm going to bet that those solar panels were bought from a company that existed prior to the demand on government grants. So it was probably, once again, the money laundering scheme of government money used to fund and produce government money, with a little left off for politicians and contributions.
Well, and given that all solar panels are subsidized by the government, that's a no-brainer, absolutely. One way or another, government was subsidizing those solar panels that went off to charity. The company benefited. We taxpayers lost, and it turns out the Haitians actually lost from it.
And in every instance of these countries that are devastated by natural disasters, The if you were to see a picture of these countries prior to the disaster, you probably wouldn't notice much difference. They're all corrupt. They're all totalitarian. And the money you give never goes further than the oligarch they call a government. So when you give money to these countries, all that happens is it strengthens and props up the existing corruption, be it Cuba, be it Haiti, be it numerous African countries. But my the bigger point is, in my opinion, government does not have the authority to give charity. That is not government's job to give the citizens, the people that make up that country's money, to other countries in the name of charity.
It's a domestic. I don't think they have a right to give, to take my money and give it to Joe, even though Joe might be out of a job. They have no right to redistribute wealth, period.
We have fueled our enemies around the world under the guise of charity, under the guise of foreign aid, under the guise of virtue. And all we have done is prop up these countries that loathe and hate and undermine and try to destroy us anyway. But I wanted to also say, before you let me go, it was a wonderful time. I truly, truly enjoyed the dinner.
Thank you.
The revolution dinner of Ayn Rand. And I think so important that you do something that encompasses more people, maybe a luncheon, maybe a coffee clutch, something, because they see and be around people who share the same ideology of liberty and freedom and really the kind of ideology that built this country, that recognizes the liberty. It just makes you feel good. And to see the people speak, one in particular, you had one of the people, the first guy that stood up. I was very impressed with him.
Dmitry Balyasny. It was a wonderful evening.
You did a great job, and I want to thank you for not only having it, but for allowing me to participate in it. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate that, Sean. I'm really glad that you came. Really glad we got a chance to meet. And these events are inspiring, and they're inspiring because you get to see that you're not alone. It's fun to actually be in a room with 100 people in this case, in some cases much larger audiences, where you know, people are supportive of your ideas, people can articulate the ideas well, and it's an exciting place to be, and it's a fun place to be. So thanks, Sean, for participating in the event. Thank you for coming. And by the way, for all of you who missed it was this last week in Chicago at the Langham Hotel, and I'm sure we'll be back next year, so hopefully we'll see you all next year. Thanks, Sean. Really appreciate it. And, you've made a lot of points there. And the corruption point is a big point. And a lot of these governments are incredibly corrupt. And a lot of the money clearly flows to these corrupt governments. But I really do want to focus more on this idea of the money that actually gets there. The good NGOs, the NGOs that do their job. They buy the rice. They take the rice. They bring it to Haiti. They give it out to poor people. Even that lands up doing more harm than good, because it creates an entitlement mentality among people there. And one of the reasons some of these countries remain poor is because they have become dependent on foreign aid. They've become dependent on charity. Some of the reason people in this country remain poor is because they become dependent on charity. They become dependent on welfare, on government-handed goodies. We don't do people any favors by giving them handouts. You don't do any people any favors by making them dependent on you. This is true of your children as they grow older. This is true of other adults. Somebody's got an emergency. You want to help them because they're nice people? Absolutely. Go ahead. I'm all for that kind of charity. Somebody's just lazy and doesn't want to work and stuck there and won't work. Or somebody's just born poor and therefore you treat them as if they're always going to be poor throughout their lives. That is not helpful. That destroys it for them, and you're out the money you gave them. And this documentary, Poverty Inc., does a great job of illustrating all these points and providing some powerful, powerful examples. And you get Africans up on stage saying, stop giving us money. Stop treating us like little children. We can take care of ourselves. What we need is freedom. And we can take care of ourselves. And on that, we'll be back to talk about why freedom, capitalism, is the real way to alleviate poverty. We'll be right back on the Iran Book Show.
There's a lot going on in the world.
A crazy election, international terrorism, a rocky economy, a state budget crisis.
Meanwhile, you're busy. Too busy to wait for some goofy talk show host at another radio station to finish talking about last night's baseball game or yesterday's viral internet video. You need information and what it means. Now, you need answers. That's why we're here, with only the news, opinion, and insight you need. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. One of two escape convicts has been captured in Nebraska. The State Department of Correctional Services says the other, Timothy Clausen, is a threat.
Do not approach him. He is dangerous.
Director Scott Frakes in Lincoln. Police in Orlando, Florida have ID'd the killer of pop singer Christina Grimmie. The 22-year-old was shot dead last night by 27-year-old Kevin James Loibel.
Fans are in mourning today after a popular reality show singing contestant was murdered in front of her concert goers in Florida. 22-year-old Christina Grimmie rose to fame after appearing on NBC's The Voice back in 2014. Following one of her concerts on Friday night, a man gunned her down inside the Orlando Live venue as the singer was signing autographs.
Fox's Casey Stiegel. Loibel killed himself after being tackled by Grimmie's brother. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree taking a look at traffic. Grand Park Blues Fest shuts down Jackson between Michigan and the Drive. Also takes out Columbus between Monroe and Congress Parkway. Should be back open by 6 a.m. Monday, but also in the South Loop, there's Printers Row Lit Fest. So Federal from Harrison to Polk is closed, Dearborn from Polk to Congress, and Polk between Clark and State closed. Inbound Eden's Lake hooks to the junction at 28 minutes. The flip looks good. Kennedy, you know, here to downtown 44 from the junction 22. The reverse, excellent. Eichen from 53 to 52 from Mannheim 37. The reverse, not many problems. It's 21 to Mannheim, 36 to 53. Stevenson in through 55 to the drive at 44. 2 minutes less if you do the reverse. Lakeshore Drive still has everything stopped southbound north to Chicago. 92 and partly sunny in Chicago. Tonight 62 and thunderstorms. Tomorrow 70 and partly sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560 The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Rourke, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Rourke, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking about the negative consequences of charity today, and we'll talk a little bit about whether charity is a good thing or not, and more broadly, more philosophically, in a few minutes. But if you care about poverty, and I think I certainly care about poverty, I hate the idea that there are people out there who are poor. I value human life. When people are poor, it means they're not being productive. If they're not being productive, it means that not being productive in the sense of producing excess, they're working hard, but they're not producing. If they're poor and not being productive, that means they're not benefiting me. That is, I'm not getting anything out of the fact that they're alive. I care about me. I know that's very selfish, but I'm proud of my selfishness. I'm a rational, long-term selfish person. So I want people not to be poor for selfish reasons. I want people not to be poor because I love people. I love humanity. I love the idea of a human being. If people are not poor, they're producing. They're productive, and I get to benefit from that because they produce and they create stuff that I benefit from. If they're not poor and they can afford an education or so on, some of them might be Einsteins or Steve Jobs or Bill Gateses, and I might enjoy an enormous benefit as a consequence. And I, you know, you can't tell in advance where the next, Einstein is going to come from, where the next Newton is going to come from. It could be from anywhere in the world. So I want to see poverty eradicated. I want to see people successful, hardworking, producing. I want them to have an education. I want all these things. Charity is not the way to get them. Charity is not the way to get them. Charity is a short-term fix to a very short-term problem. Long-term, charity is debilitating. It's harmful. It's destructive. Even voluntary charity, not just the kind of charity the government does, which I wouldn't call charity, welfare, not just welfare, but also charity. If charity is there all the time, constantly, with no standards, with no qualifications, it's just like welfare. It institutionalizes people into poverty. But what causes poverty? And how do you get out of poverty? Well, first, what causes poverty? Life. Poverty is the natural state of man. We're all poor. Unless we're free, and unless we have creators among us, people among us, who are willing to take risk, who are willing to create ventures, who are willing to be entrepreneurial, create businesses, and raise us all out of poverty. Knowledge, risk-taking, entrepreneurship, business. Business is what's raised people out of poverty all over the world. We were all poor once, 300 years ago. Every person on this planet was poor. How did we get out of poverty? Because businessmen, and they weren't businessmen to start, they were just people, took risks, raised capital, started a business, hired people, paid them based on their productivity, invested in capital, which raised people's productivity, which raised their wages. And that's how we got out of poverty. People creating jobs, business, jobs. That's what raises people out of poverty. You want to help Africa get out of poverty? Give them the institutions. Give them the ideas that make business possible, which means simple stuff, right? Contract law. It means rule of law. It means freedom. It means freedom. Political freedom. That's what every country needs. Economic freedom. Now, this is what happened in South Korea. Do you know that South Korea and North Korea were once equally poor? Same thing. North Korea is still probably the poorest country, or one of the poorest countries in the world. South Korea, one of the richest. Why? Because South Korea adopted capitalism. South Korea adopted freedom. It adopted economic freedom, respect for the rule of law, property rights, contract law, and boom. Entrepreneurs went in, created businesses, created big businesses that hired lots of people, and now it's one of the richest countries in the world. China did it a little differently. It allowed for economic freedom without political freedom. Even that works. And it didn't allow for a lot of economic freedom. So it allowed economic freedom in some sectors. In other sectors, it kept strong control. Where there was strong control, economic growth was minimal. Where they left people alone, boom, economic growth expanded dramatically and people became unpoor. 1 billion fewer poor people today in the world than 30 years ago. Why? Because of capitalism, because of economic freedom, because of business, because of people pursuing their own self-interest, trying to make a profit. And by doing that, they raise other people out of poverty. That's not their intent. Not like these NGOs. These NGOs want to get people out of poverty, and that's why they can't do it. You can't get rid of poverty by handing people checks, handing people free stuff. What you need is to create jobs. And the only way to create jobs is by having prosperous businesses. The only way to have prosperous businesses is by allowing for economic freedom. Only here, only on this show will you hear these kind of views. You're listening to your Ron Brooks Show.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the North State Steel Traffic Center.
I'm Alex Dupree taking a look at traffic. Closures in Grant Park for Blues Fest this weekend. Jackson between Michigan and the Drive. Also Columbus between Monroe and Congress Parkway. Everything should be back open by 6 a.m. Monday morning. But Northside is Rib Fest Chicago. So Lincoln between Urban Park and Berteaux closed till 5 a.m. Monday morning. And then Andersonville Midsummer Fest. Clark between Catalpa and Foster shut down till 6 a.m. Monday morning. Inbound Eden's Lake Hooks at the Junction. That's a half hour, 10 minutes less on the flip. Kennedy Inno here to downtown. 44 Addison, there's an accident blocking the left lane. The reverse looks better on the Kennedy. Eichen from 53 at 52 back out. 43 minutes accident off to the left shoulder at Addison. So it's a bit tight from Route 83. And the Tri-State southbound at Cicero off-ramp closure. It's currently 92 and partly sunny in Chicago tonight. 62 and thunderstorms tomorrow. 70 and partly sunny. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560 The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio, Chicago's safe money specialist.
We are going to manage a portfolio to the extent where every single month you know and you feel confident that no matter what market it is, that you don't need to play the guessing game and time the market, because it's not timing the market, it's time in the market.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Chicago's safe money specialist. Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
Ladies, are the chemicals in your home's water stripping the life from your hair? Men, do you have that one pesky toilet that always gives you problems? Listen to the Heatwave Plumbing Radio Show this Saturday for answers to all your plumbing questions. Need plumbing help right now? be the very first person to go to radioplumbingdeals.com, fill out the radio discount request form, click submit, and get $129 worth of service for $39.95. That's radioplumbingdeals.com.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
So when it comes to alleviating poverty, the solution is business. The solution is to create communities in which people exchange value for value. They trade. And where people have the confidence in the legal system to start businesses, to raise money, to invest, to produce, to hire people. That's where poverty disappears. Everywhere it's tried, that's what happens. You want to help Africa? You want to help alleviate poverty in Africa? Then advocate that Africa become capitalist. Advocate that they embrace the rule of law, property rights, contract laws, that they embrace business. And everybody is focused always on little businesses, right? One of the solutions to all the problems of poverty, it was supposed to be microfinancing. And I'm all for microfinancing. Microfinance is the idea of you go into very poor places and you provide very small loans to small entrepreneurs. But you know what? Not everybody's going to be an entrepreneur. People need jobs. And the fact is, jobs are not just provided by small businesses. They're provided by medium-sized businesses and big businesses. And often, the jobs that are provided by big businesses, big American businesses, big European businesses going into these countries and hiring people. And they're hiring people who have very, very low ability in terms of starting out, in terms of their productivity, because they've never worked before for a business. So they pay them very little. Cost of living in those countries is also much lower. And then, you know, people call them sweatshops and we got to get rid of them. But they're providing employment for people who don't have alternatives. And they are teaching skills. And they are building productivity. And over time, wages go up because productivity goes up, because skills levels goes up. And some of those workers will leave and start their own businesses and hire their own employees. And that's how you can speed up economic activity. That's how you can speed up the alleviation of poverty. That's how you can speed up the benefits to these countries. These countries, Nike and other countries that go overseas, they're not exploiters. They're the opposite. They bring massive benefits to these countries, not that all in the name of trying to make money. And the primary benefit is that they're employing people. And the benefits of those jobs are hard to calculate. Now these people have money. They start consuming more in the local markets. Local entrepreneurs don't have to satisfy their consumption. Start businesses. And yeah, in the beginning, it's tiny amounts of money. But, you know, this microfinancing is not enough because it's not enough just to have small businesses. You got to get the medium-sized businesses. You got to get the large businesses. And not everybody's going to be an entrepreneur. And it's not just about giving them loans. It's also about creating checking accounts and mortgages and a whole array of financial products. But you can't have those financial products without the rule of law. Without the rule of law, without banks and businesses who can trust that the contracts are contracts and people can't just walk away from them, and that the government is not so corrupt that you could get wiped out tomorrow. So at the end of the day, if you want, as I said before, if you want people not to be poor, you got to bring them freedom, capitalism. And that's what leads to prosperity. And that's true in America too. You want less poor people in America? Get government off our backs. Stop redistributing wealth so much. Deregulate, decontrol, get rid of, you know, make taxes flat so that there are no loopholes that lobbyists can exploit. Make America a capitalist country, and there will be a lot less poor people, maybe none. In other words, let's get rid of the war on poverty, because the war on poverty creates poverty. That's part of what this documentary tells us. It doesn't use America as an example. It doesn't use the war on poverty as an example. But it's completely transferable. Hand people checks, they become dependent on the checks. their motivation to be entrepreneurial, their motivation to look for jobs goes down. But also, having an economy that doesn't produce jobs because we suck out all the private capital in order for the government to use, because we create a regulatory environment that's destructive to economic growth. That's also, you know, if you don't have jobs, you don't have jobs. What you need is a thriving economy where people are self-reliant and people go out and find jobs because they have to and because they want to. Because you know how important a job is, a work is really to you. That's where you get your self-esteem, your confidence, the pride that you get to take care of yourself and your family. There's no other place you can get that. No other place you can get that. Having a job is so, so crucial to any human being. You have to be productive. You have to make money. Being productive is crucial to your own self-esteem and your pride. And again, charity that's not emergency. Charity that's sustainable forever. And assuming people can take care of themselves. Charity that dumps money in other countries. Charity that just produces, hands them over free stuff. Doesn't help get rid of poverty. It institutionalizes it. It makes them less dependent. And of course, a lot of that money goes, as Sean said, to corrupt dictators who then maintain the economic system that they have because they benefit from it financially. And they deny their people freedom. They deny the people opportunity. They deny their people the ability to raise themselves out of poverty. And that's the key. The only way to alleviate poverty is to give people the freedom to elevate themselves out of poverty. You can't do it for them. You're listening to your Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back after this break to wrap this up.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
World, say hello to some old friends. It's been a long time, but they remember you. They're my toes, and they've been hidden ever since I got nail fungus. Yeah, nail fungus. I know, embarrassing, right? Really ugly stuff that I just couldn't get rid of. Tried several doctors, took pills, creams, even considered surgery. Of course, with that, you lose your nail, and there's no guarantee that the fungus won't come back. So I tried Clear Touch. Clear Touch is a little handheld device you use at home. It's painless because it uses light. Yes, light to travel fast and deep. Can't believe I went so long hiding my toes when this simple, inexpensive solution was waiting right there at Clear Touch. Clear Touch is even cleared by the FDA because it's safe and works. Yeah, my toes saw the light. So, world, I'd appreciate it if you could pass the word about Clear Touch, the phototherapy solution. It works.
Call 800-279-7573. That's 800-279-7573. That's 800-279-7573 or cleartouchnails.com.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, so we're talking about poverty today, and we talked about charity. And I want to put charity in context, because I think this is important. We're often told that charity is a measure of our virtue, that ethics demand that we give. And if you follow the show, and if you keep listening to the show, and if you follow it for a while, you know, I'm here with a different message. Charity's nice. Charity can be good. But charity is not where you get your virtue from. Charity is not where you get your virtue from. Charity is not virtuous automatically. It depends. But more importantly, the standard of morality, the standard of what is good, is what is good for you. I mean, what is good for you, properly speaking, long term, in a meaningful sense? Not just what is good for you emotionally at the moment, but what is rationally good for you long term. That should be and is the standard of morality. And yeah, charity then has to fit into that. Charity is good if it's good for me. I don't give a lot to just random charities. If somebody wants my money, they have to explain to me how it's good for me, how I directly or mostly indirectly are going to benefit from it, how it's going to make the world a better place for me and the people I love. Otherwise, I'm not giving. I'm not giving. The standard is me. The standard is my life. The standard is my well-being. The standard is my world. And that's how I think it should be for you. So when it comes to charity, yeah, I mean, there are emergencies. And in emergencies, I'm happy to help, particularly people I know. I'm less inclined to help people I don't know. But in emergencies, I'm happy to help as long as it's an emergency. If I'm going to help somebody forever, no way. People can take care of themselves. There are plenty of ways to make a living, to take care of oneself. So, you know, my emphasis is on, you know, there's the saying, don't give a person a fish, teach them how to fish. Yeah, absolutely, that is right. But teach them how to fish what they want to fish and in the way they want it. Don't impose yourself on them. So, again, that's what these NGOs do. They come in and they tell you, you have to do solar panels. You have to abide by our regulatory standards, our environmental standards. We're going to force you to be poor forever, because that's what these standards usually mean. So, you know, if you're going to do charity, do it thoughtfully. Think about what you're doing. Think about the benefits. And the best charity in the world is to fight for ideas. If you care about other people, then the best thing you could do to change the world is to advocate for ideas, to support causes that bring ideas to poor places in the world. Good ideas, ideas about freedom, ideas about capitalism, ideas about liberty. If you want to export anything, don't export money. Export the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. The solution to world poverty is freedom. Let's go out there, advocate. Let's go out there, support those who advocate for freedom. So join me in continuing the fight for freedom and liberty. Talk to you next week. You're listening to the Yaron Brook Show. Have a great week.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety